Welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm Justine Ward, your host. Each week, we present an hour of entertainment from the golden age of radio for your enjoyment. This week, we continue with our comedy theme and bring you more Stan Freberg. I found the audition show for Freberg's 1954 radio sitcom called That's Rich. In the series, Freberg plays a feckless young man named Richard, who fumbles his way through life, inspiring his nearest and dearest to exclaim, "That's our Rich." This audition show introduces the characters that would appear in the 1954 radio series. Here is That's Rich, with Stan Freberg, Dawes Butler, and Alan Reed. It was created on November 21, 1953, as an audition for the show which started January 8, 1954 on CBS.
The turkey vulture, the blue-winged warbler, and the tufted titmouse have moved from Texas to North Dakota. This proves the world is getting warmer. It also proves that birds are smarter than Texans.
Well, That's Rich. Yes, That's Rich, starring Stan Freberg as Rich. We take you now to Hope Springs, California, that bustling little community just a stone's throw from the heart of Hollywood, to the home of Howard Crump, where Richard E. Wilt has been visiting. Howie's had a hard day selling real estate, and right now he'd like to catch a little shut-eye before dinner. So Howie slips into his den, stretches out on the hide-a-bed Davenport.
I knew it. Doorbell's ringing!
In his room, 11-year-old Happy Crump is very busy reading a 3D comic book.
Daddy, doorbell's ringing!
In her room, 15-year-old Holly Crump is very busy painting her toenails purple.
Happy doorbell's ringing!
In her room, Hazel Crump is very busy getting supper.
Well,
what's she stewing about?
Daddy, good night. What's she stewing?
Oh, never mind.
Yes? How do you do? I'm Miss Abbott, the secretary of the Bird Lovers League.
Who?
The Bird Lovers. Aren't you a bird lover?
I hate birds.
Oh, my. Well, isn't this the home of Richard E. Wilt?
No, it's not the home of Richard E. Wilt. It's the home of Howard S. Crump. Richard E. Wilt has been visiting here for 4 months. He's my wife's cousin. Second cousin. Once removed. And he's still here.
Oh, well, aren't you lucky? He's one of our most enthusiastic members, too. May I speak to him, please?
No, I'll see if he's come in. Is Cousin Richard home? Apparently, he's not here.
Dear me, would you ask him to call Miss Ethel Abbott at the Bird Lovers League? The moment he comes in, it's very urgent.
Urgent?
Bird business.
Bird business, is that so?
Yes, goodbye.
Goodbye.
Was that somebody for Cousin Richard, dear?
Yeah, some bird brain from the Bird Lovers League. Miss Abbott.
Oh, a girl bird lover.
Well, this one may be a bird lover, but she's no girl.
What
was it about?
Bird business. It's urgent.
Then I think you ought to call Rich at work. Hollywood 95264, dear.
Thanks, dear. Bird lover boy.
Oh, Howie, you know you like him.
Yeah, I do like him. But how long is he going to keep nesting in my den?
Hello, Consolidated.
I'd like to speak to Richard E. Wilk, please.
Who was it you wish to speak to, please?
Richard E. Wilk.
Will you kindly spell it, please?
Good night. W-I-L-T, like in Will You Go With Me? I wilt. The last name. The first name is Richard. R-I-C-H-A-R-D.
R-I-C-H-A-R-D. Oh, Richard!
Yeah! Richard E. Wilt.
Oh, Richard E. Wilt. We don't have a Richard E. Wilt. If he worked here, I'd have heard. I'm the telephone operator. I hear everything.
I bet. Well, thanks a lot. Did you hear that, Hazel? They never even heard of your cousin Richard at Consolidated.
Howie, he works there.
Who says he works? How do you know he doesn't just chase after birds all day? And what's all this malarkey about that contest to name the stationery at Consolidated? Oh, it's you again.
Yes, I've changed my mind.
Oh?
I'm going to indulge myself.
You are?
I'm not going back to the office this afternoon at all. I'm going to watch seagulls.
Seagulls?
Mm-hmm. So will you ask Mr. Wilt to call me right after 9 in the morning? It's so urgent. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Have fun.
Who was it, dear?
Oh, that bird, Damon.
Well, anyway, Cousin Richard certainly made a hit with the bird lovers.
Oh, yeah, he's a big man with the birds. But they never heard of him where he works. I tell you, Hayes, I'm going to ask Cousin Rich a few little questions.
Careful. Oh, Cousin Richard.
Hello, Richard.
It is not only the turkey vulture, the blue-winged warbler, and the tufted titmouse that have moved north. California's sardines have moved to Norway.
How's that?
How do you know so much, Cousin Richard?
Oh, don't mention it.
Well, Rich, the secretary of the Bird Lovers League, was here today.
Oh, Miss Abbott. Very fine bird man.
Well, anyhow, you're supposed to call her right after 9 tomorrow. She said it's urgent.
Oh, I hope it's no emergency.
Emergency?
Oh, you never know what's going to happen to birds in Los Angeles. Just the other day, a Western Roadrunner tried to cross the Hollywood Freeway at Sunset Boulevard.
Oh? What happened to it?
It ended up in the Hyperion Sewer Project.
Sit down, Rich. I want to have a little talk with you.
Oh, that's nice, Cousin Howie.
How do you like it at the Consolidated Paper Products Company, Rich?
Oh, it's very educational. Do you realize that they make everything out of paper? Money, milk bottles. Bathing suits?
Bathing suits?
Oh, sure.
Boys or girls?
Both.
What happens if somebody tears one?
Tears one? Well, who'd ground tearing bathing suits?
Yes.
Well, I wasn't going to tear any.
Well, I should hope not.
Good night. Just what do you do at this Consolidated Paper Products Company, Richard?
Well, when I first went there, I was a use-no-hooks man.
What?
I stamped use-no-hooks on cartons.
That sounds very important to me.
See, hooks are the natural enemies of paper cartons. Once a paper carton has been really hooked, it's never the same again.
See, Howie?
Then they promoted me to a this-end-up man.
Isn't that nice? He got a promotion, Howie.
I stamped this end up on all cartons in which it is important to be able to tell the top, or head as we call it, from the bottom.
How can you tell the top from the bottom of a carton?
The top end is the end that reads this end up.
Well, yeah, but how can you tell the top end before it reads this end up?
Why, Cousin Howard, what difference does it make before?
Oh, good night. Look, are you still this end upping cartons?
I've been promoted again. Seems I never got this end up on the wrong end once even.
I thought you just said it didn't make any difference.
Well, Cousin Howard, once you've stamped one end with this end up, that end becomes the up end.
Yeah.
Well, how would a carton look with this end up stamped on its bottom?
Richard, did you say you've been promoted?
Oh, yes. I'm the missing man in the shipping department.
Huh?
Every time anything turns up missing, I get blamed for it. Right now, there's a whole carload of paper doilies addressed to Oskaloosa missing. Vanished into thin air in the outskirts of Ashtabula.
Well, now, what about that contest you're in, Rich?
Oh, the contest to name the stationery.
Hmm?
Yeah. Oh, it's a light blue, so I suggested blue heron egg blue. Not the blue of the blue heron, of course, but the blue of the blue heron's blue egg. Wouldn't that be a great name for a stationery? Blue heron's egg blue?
Oh, great. That'll get you places.
We don't even put our names on our entries. Just a number. I'm number 217.
Well, look, 217. I tried to phone you at the Consolidated Paper Products Company today. Now, maybe you work there, but they never heard of you.
They never heard of me?
That's what the telephone operator said.
She did?
Now, look, Rich, you better stop fooling around with birds.
When it comes to birds, Cousin Howie, I don't fool around.
Well, you better do something to attract a little attention.
Attract attention? Me?
Yes, you might start with that telephone operator who never heard of you.
Now, what can I do to her to attract her attention?
Well, I don't know, Rich, but you better do something. They don't even know at Consolidated whether you're dead or alive.
Maybe they don't. I don't move very often.
Well, next morning, Richard enters the office of the Consolidated Paper Products Company, firmly determined to prove that he's alive. He goes straight to the telephone operator.
Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
Did you ever see me before?
Mm-mm, never.
Oh.
So what are you leading up to?
I work here.
Oh, excuse me. What's your name?
Richard E. Wilt.
Richard E. Oh, I just told somebody yesterday we didn't have a Richard E. Wilt.
I know. It's okay. Freckles.
Did you call me Freckles?
The first name that popped into my mind when I saw you sitting there plugging in and plugging out was Freckles.
Oh. What's your name?
I already told you, Richard E. Wilt.
Oh, I've got it firmly fixed in my mind there isn't such a person.
There is. Richard E. Wilt. Richard E. Wilt. You better say it with me, Mom. Richard E. Wilt. And once again,
Richard E. Wilt.
Are you beginning to believe I'm alive?
Oh, yes, Richard. I couldn't forget you now if I tried. How do you spell your last name?
W-I-L-T. Like lettuce, see? Lettuce Wilt. When you see me, all you have to do is think of lettuce.
I'll always think of you every time I see a head of lettuce.
Thank you. Can I make a telephone call here?
Personal or business?
Well, it's to the Bird Lovers League.
Oh, a bird call. Well, Consolidated doesn't believe in personal calls, but they don't have a rule about bird calls.
Oh, I see.
Maybe you better use the public pay booth down the hall.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I better check in at my desk for... Gosh, you've got a freckle right at the end of your nose. It just wiggled at me. Good morning, Mr. McCobb. It looks like a nice day.
What makes you think so?
Well, that's what the weatherman says.
Politics. It's all politics.
I see. Oh, did you see this memo?
No.
It says the surprise prize in the stationery contest will be awarded by our president this afternoon. Signed, F.O. Beasley. Gosh, there's going to be a surprise prize.
Yeah. Probably a lifetime supply of paper cups.
Gosh, Mr. McCobb, have you got your indigestion again?
I will before the day's over. Look out, here comes Beasley.
Well, 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 Wilt. Congratulations.
Oh, gosh. Thanks, Mr. Beasley. What for?
You finally made it.
Made what, Mr. Beasley?
Made it to your desk. And only a minute and 35 seconds late.
Oh, don't mention it.
Just take your time, Wilt. We've got all day.
Thanks, Mr. Beasley. You know, Mr. McCobb, this is the first time Mr. Beasley ever paid any attention to me.
Politics. Where are you going, Rich?
Oh, gosh, I got to make a telephone call. Very urgent. Hi, Freckles. I'm going to make that telephone call. I sure hope nothing has gone wrong with some bird.
How could a bird go wrong?
Ooh, well, just last week, a crane flying over Los Angeles got its legs tangled in a television antenna.
Oh, how awful.
In the confusion, the poor crane laid an egg right in the middle of Arthur Godfrey and his friend. Apparently, the crane enjoyed the whole experience. And now, every time she feels like laying an egg, she picks out a television antenna and waits for Arthur Godfrey to come on. Fortunately, she never has to wait long. This is Richard E. Wilt.
Oh, Mr. Wilt, I'm so glad we found you. Please call Mr. Hackett at Hollywood, 95264. He needs a bird expert right away. We recommended you. Goodbye.
Okay, goodbye. Hollywood, 95264.
Hollywood, 95264.
Mr. Hackett?
This is not Mr. Hackett.
Where have I heard that voice before?
B.B. Hackett speaking.
Oh, this is Richard E. Wilt speaking.
Yes?
Yes. The Bird Lovers League said you wanted me to call you.
Bird Lovers? Oh, you're the bird expert.
Well.
Could you drop in to see me, Mr. Wilt? I'm at the Consolidated Paper Products Company. Hello?
I'm still here. It sounded like you said you're at the Consolidated Paper Products Company.
Oh, yes, yes, I work there. Could you drop in this morning?
I'm practically there.
Goodbye.
Bye. Freckles, does a B.B. Hackett work here?
Mr. B.B. is our president.
Miss B.B. is... Our...
Well, 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 Wilt. Back again. We've been lonesome for you.
Oh. Have you? I had to make a telephone call, which is
well,
why...
Nice of you to come back.
Oh, don't mention it. Paul...
I am not interested. I just want you to know that I've got my eye on you, Wilt.
Thanks, Mr. Beasley. Where's Mr. Hackett's office?
Right next to the telephone booth.
Down the hall, right next to... Yeah, I wouldn't have had to waste a dime calling him. Well, thanks, Freckles.
Come in.
I'm Richard E. Wilt.
Hello, Mr. Wilt. I won't take much of your time.
Oh, that's okay, Mr. Hackett. My time is... Your time.
Good.
Now, briefly, we're having a little contest to name a new line of stationery. Our employees have made entries by numbers instead of names.
Yes, I know.
I don't even want to know who suggested what.
Oh, I know. See, I...
The only thing I'm interested in is this. Someone suggested Blue Heron Egg Blue as a name. Now, I don't know what kind of blue Heron Egg Blue is. Do you?
Oh, sure. That's how I... Well, that's how I...
Good, that's fine. Now, here's... Tell me, what's that look like to you?
It looks like Blue Heron Egg Blue to me.
That's it. Blue Heron Egg Blue. Now, what's your home address, Mr. Wilt? We'd like to send you a little token of our appreciation.
Oh, no, Mr. Haggett. You don't realize I work
Nonsense,
for...
Nonsense, my boy. I no, work, no. Where do you live?
In Hope Springs, 1100 Heavenly Highway. That's at the dead end.
Well, thank you, Mr. Wilt. I'm a busy man. I know you are, too.
Oh, sure. But, Mr. Haggett, see, I wanted to tell you
blue
about...
Blue Heron Egg Blue. Oh, that's a great idea. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Ooh, Richard, Mr. Beasley is looking for you.
He is? This sure is my day, isn't it, Frank?
Wilt!
Oh, Mr. Beasley.
Wilt, I have had enough. Enough, you understand? Absolutely enough. You have been away from your desk all morning. I warned you, Will. I have had enough.
Mr. Beasley, I was talking to...
I don't care who you were talking to.
But you don't understand. I was talking to the...
I don't care if you were talking to the president of Consolidated. Just tell me this.
Yeah.
What is a carload of our best paper doilies doing in Walla Walla, Washington?
Walla Walla?
Yes.
Not Ashtabula?
No.
Walla Walla?
What have you got to say to that, Wilt?
Walla Walla? Not Ashtabula? Excuse me. I've got hiccups.
Richard Wilt, I have reached the end of my rope. You are fired.
I am? Fired?
Now get out! Get out! Get out!
Hi, Cousin Hazel. Not me.
Why, Richard?
Well, Richard, did you follow my advice today?
Yes, I did, Cousin Howie.
Good. That'll get you places.
Oh, sure. It got me fired.
Fired?
Oh, Rich, what happened?
Well, I had to call the Bird Lovers League and...
Oh, good night. Didn't I tell you to let birds alone during office hours?
Yeah, but...
Somebody!
I'll answer it, dear.
Does number 217 live here?
Number 217. Oh, well, that's Rich. My goodness, what have you got?
A truckload of paper cups.
Cousin Richard, it's a truckload of paper cups for you.
That must be the prize for Blue Heron Egg Blue.
Oh, Rich, a truckload.
Yes, a lifetime supply.
Who would ever live so long? Hello?
Mr. Richard E. Will, please.
Oh, just a minute. It's for you, Rich.
Oh, me? Thanks. Hello?
Hello, Richard. This is Freckles.
Hello, Freckles. This is Richard.
I know. Mr. Beasley wants to speak to you.
He does? Ooh, what about?
He'll tell you. Don't hang up, Richard.
Hello, Mr. Will. This is F.O. Beasley.
Hello, Mr. Beasley. Richard E. Will.
Mr. Will, I think I may have been a little hasty today.
Oh, sure.
Could you get right back to work immediately?
Oh, sure, Mr. Beasley.
Well, thank you, and the sooner the better, Mr. Wilt.
Goodbye, Mr. Beasley.
Don't hang up, Richard. This is Freckles again.
Oh, Freckles. Where did you come from?
I've been here all the time. You better get back right away, Richard, or Mr. Beasley will get fired for firing the winner of the contest.
Gosh, I sure wouldn't want Mr. Beasley to get fired. Me too, Freckles. How do you spell my name?
L-E-T-T-U-C-E.
Getting warm. Bye, Freckles.
Bye, Richard.
Now what?
I'm hired again.
Well, what did I tell you? While you're alive, the thing to do is move, my boy, move.
Gosh, Cousin Howie. I'm going to use that for one of my mottos from now on. You sure are an inspiration to me. You and the birds.
In a moment, we'll return to That's Rich. Over 1,700 American communities are participating in the annual voluntary collection for the Community Chests and United Funds. Give the United Way in your community. Now, back to That's Rich.
I'll get it.
Does Mr. Richard E. Wilt live here?
My goodness, what now?
A truckload of paper cups.
Oh, no. Cousin Richard, another lifetime supply of paper cups for you.
Oh, for me? Oh, are you sure?
The Mr. Richard E. Wilt bird expert from Mr. B.B. Hackett. With compliments.
Good night. Two lifetime supplies of paper cups. What's this one for?
Well, Cousin Howie, the other one was for suggesting blue heron egg blue. That was for the birds.
Yeah.
And this one is for suggesting that the suggestion I suggested was a good suggestion.
What are you going to do with two lifetimes?
Boy, am I going to live?
Ladies and gentlemen, that's our Rich.
This has been That's Rich, starring Stan Freberg as Richard E. Wilt, with Marvin Miller as Howard, Patricia Dunlap as Hazel, Bridget McCall and Tony Kaye as Holly and Happy Crump, Patty Chapman as Freckles, and Dawes Butler as Macabre. Also appearing in tonight's cast were Martha Wentworth, Bob Jellison, Will Wright, and Peter Leeds, with music by George Fields. That's Rich, created and written by Frank and Doris Hursley, is a Homer Canfield production. Roy Rowan speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour, broadcast every week through iTunes and all over the World Wide Web. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and I'm always looking for something special for our listeners to enjoy. Over the years, we have broadcast episodes of Lux Radio Theater hosted by C.B. DeMille. This week, our faithful listeners will enjoy a spoof of Lux Theater on the Stan Freberg Show. He created a parody with the Lux Radio Theater, sponsored by a bar of soap that always swims upstream. Enjoy the fun with the Stan Freberg Show, first broadcast August 4th, 1957, on CBS.
Wow, man, I'll have to ask you not to gong like that.
Oh, well,
it's
yeah.
It's right in my ear, man.
Well, I was just trying
It's too piercing, man. It's too piercing.
Well, see, the gong was to separate me from the commercials you just heard. I mean, I don't want people to think I'm a cigarette or a used car.
Well, what are you, man?
I'm Stan Freberg.
Too piercing, man.
Too piercing, yeah. Well, that's the breaks. Hit it, Billy.
Wow.
This is the fourth show of the series of a brand new radio series.
From Hollywood, we present the Stan Freberg Show.
With the music of Billy May.
Plus the songs of Peggy Taylor with Doris Butler, June Foray, Peter Leeds, and the Judd Conlon Rhythm Airs.
You may not find us on your TV, because in case you did not know, we're being brought to you on. Brought to you on. Brought to you on R-A-D-I-O.
Now one of the dramatic scenes we know you've been waiting for.
Stage lights dim, and the spotlight finds our announcer, Burnside Mantle.
Thank you. Great moments in history. We bring you the story behind these moments. The time is April the 18th, 1775. The place, Charleston, Massachusetts. It is night, and high in the steeple of the old North Church, two lanterns are gleaming. One if by land, and two if by sea. The British are coming.
Quick, quick, Paul Revere, quick. The British are coming. Get on the horse.
First you give me the money, then I'll get on the horse. So concludes another gem from the files of our historical stool pigeon and research man, Robert E. Tainter. Bob had to mail his expose in today as he's been temporarily detained. I hope they at least put a radio in his cell so he can hear the show. In answer to all the hundreds of letters we've received asking just exactly what yogurt is, I'm sorry, we don't know.
Pardon me. Oh, yes, Peggy? Well, yogurt, a dairy product, is prepared from milk, partly evaporated and fermented by Lactobacillus vulgaris.
Uh-huh. And for you true lovers of cupcakes and other goodies, that was the voice of Peggy Taylor. Gee, how did you know what yogurt was?
Oh, I know a lot of little things, Dan. Mm-hmm. You want to know the population of Winnetka?
No, that won't be necessary. Just glad you could drop by, Peggy. Gee, you look as pretty and perky.
Dan, why don't you just let me sing, huh?
Now, with the help of Judd Conlon's Rhythm Airs, here's Peggy Taylor. Sing, Peggy.
All right, Jack.
I like the likes of you. I like the things you do. I mean, I like the likes of you. I like your eyes of blue. I think they're blue, don't you? I mean, I like your eyes of blue. Dear, if I could only say what I mean. I mean, if I could mean what I say. That is, I mean to say that I mean to say that I like the likes of you. Your looks are pure to look. Looks like I like the likes of you. Oh dear, if I could only say what I mean. I mean if I could mean what I say. That is, I mean to say that I mean to say that I like the looks of you. Your looks are pure to look. Looks like I like the likes of you. Looks like I like the looks of you.
High five. Just what does it all mean? We are fortunate to have with us the eminent electronics engineer and scientist, Dr. Herman Horn, who will demonstrate for us the meaning of the word hi-fi.
Thank you. And incidentally, hi-fi is two words hyphenated in the middle.
The word hi-fi.
Two words. I've told you once. I won't tell you again.
The words hi-fi.
That's better.
Have become a part of our daily vocabulary. Still, many people do not completely understand. And so, it is to them that this lecture is dedicated.
Doctor, one moment, please.
I'm just testing the equipment so I'll be ready for the lecture if that big fat mouth of yours ever stops flapping and you introduce me.
I'm trying to.
Well, try a little harder.
Yes.
Please.
Well, as Edison was to the incandescent lamp, as Whitney was to the cotton gin, as Abby is to rents, so is Dr. Herman Hahn to
stereophrantic, orthopedic, cinemaguanoramophonic sound is the copyrighted name for my own personal hi-fi system, yes, which I have developed.
What the good doctor really means is, hi-fi, short for high fidelity, or music recorded with complete frequency and full dynamic range, plus great musical balance, then engineered and pressed with critical electronic precision.
Somebody asked you to say that?
Oh, nobody
just,
said it.
Just thought you'd throw it in. Is that it?
Oh, yes. It? I just wanted to help, you know.
Well, that's very nice. You want to help. Say, let me show you how it can be a real help. Take your foot and put it in this bucket of salt water.
All righty.
There we are. Now, will you hang on to these two electrodes?
All righty.
Thank you. Hold it. To continue, ladies and gentlemen, here is some average sounds you hear every day around the house, which my assistant, Mr. Strudelmeier, is going to play through hi-fi. Listen. That was the mating call of the aardvark. Yes, you aardvarks with hi-fi sets, that was a good place in the record to test your equipment and get jollies at the same time. Listen again. You know what that was? That was the same mating call, only played backwards and slowed down. It is no longer attractive to aardvarks in this condition, but it gives my assistant Strudelmeier goosebumps. Here's something you don't hear every day. That was the sound of Luella Parsons at the Brown Derby putting ketchup on a clam sandwich in hi-fi. Hey, you'd think you were right there with Lolly, wouldn't you? I tell you, somebody who appreciates hi-fi, that's a dog. They could hear all the good sounds you couldn't hear, like all the highs. You can only hear the fives. The average dog can hear up to 40,000 cycles. I'll play an oscillator for you. You write down a mental note of where you can't hear anymore. You don't hear that, do you? That's the part the dogs like. Don't you wish you had dog's ears? Matter of fact, a friend of mine back in Scranton got so mad that his dog could hear more than he could, he went to a plastic surgeon and had dog's ears put on him. He couldn't hear for sour apples, but he got a part in the picture, Frankenstein Meets the Wolf Man. Where was I? Oh, yes, dogs. I have recorded a whole symphony at 40,000 cycles for only dogs to hear. If you can hear it, believe me, worry a little. All righty, put on the record, Strudelmeier. Down, Strudelmeier. Down, Strudelmeier. Take the record off. Well, it's too bad. They get too emotional. Strudelmeier. Strudelmeier, the liver is for them.
So concludes the first of a series of fascinating lectures on hi-fi by Dr. Herman Hahn. I feel sure that you, like us, will get a lot from these educational talks. The preceding 4 minutes of time has been relinquished by Stan Freeberg in honor of Deafen Your Neighbors Week.
The Lox Audio Theater, brought to you by Lox Soap, the only salmon-shaped bar that swims up tub.
And now,
here is your host, that grand, grand star with a wide, wide smile, C.B. Digby.
Good evening from Hollywood. Tonight we have for you a stirring psychological drama adapted especially for the Lux Audio Theater from that lovable motion picture, Rock Around My Nose. Our stars are the screen's most lovable old codger, Mr. Evanston, Illinois, and that delightful child actor, Bobby Finster, recently starred in Pillow Fight at the OK Nursery School. As usual, after our play, I'll be talking with these glamorous stars in our very own green room. And now, from Hollywood, the Lux Audio Theater presents Rock Around My Nose.
In the library of his palatial mansion, on his magnificent estate in Puce Hills, Connecticut, a troubled man sits aimlessly playing with his fabulous collection of pigeon blood rubies. As the priceless gems trickle from his aimless fingers and spill to the floor to be sucked on by a delighted cocker spaniel, Foster Farthington Chatsworth III, the lonely millionaire, is thinking deeply. He is... But let him tell us his problem.
I have lost all hope of getting close to my son, Julius Chatsworth IV. Since Julius was a baby, I've had trouble getting close to him.
Dad,
and now...
Dad.
Ah, there is Julius now. Julius, my son, come get close to me.
Are you kidding?
What's the matter, son? Let me get close to you, boy.
Well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Why you can't get close to me.
What is it?
Well, Dad, it's just as plain as the... Oh, what's the use? I can't tell you. So long, Dad.
Julius, well, where are you going?
I'm going out to pick up a girl.
But, Julius, what about your poor old father?
You get your own girl.
He was gone, and I still could not get close to him. Little did I know what was going on at the Puce Hills Sweet Shop.
Hiya, Julius.
Oh, hi, Marty. How's things at the butcher shop?
Oh, I managed to do a little cutting up. How's with you?
Oh, same old thing. Come down here, drinking straight shots, talk realistic dialogue. I'm not getting any younger. I made a mockery of my life. I want to get married.
But you're only 8 years old.
Oh, you're always throwing that in my face.
What's the matter? You cold?
No, I'm struggling inwardly.
Julius began to spend night after night at the Puce Hills Sweet Shop. I could no longer interest him in a hobby, so I took up a hobby. I began to study golf. And one day at the country club, as I was taking a lesson from the pro...
No, Mr. Chatsworth. No, you sliced again. You got to keep your eye on the ball.
Yes, I know, but that's very difficult, Mac. My nose overshadows it.
You got a pretty big proboscis.
It is a bit outsized, isn't it?
Ooh, I wish I had that nose full of nickels.
That nose full of nickels. I had heard that phrase before, walking along the street.
Hey, Gert, get a load of that bugle.
Boy, would I like to have that nose full of nickels.
Nose full of nickels. Nose full of nickels. Nose full of nickels. Nose full of nickels. Nose full of nickels.
Stop it!
I began to think about my nose. How many nickels would it hold? I decided to find out.
in my office next day.
Here are the nickels, Mr. Chatsworth. Banks and all they have.
Excellent. Excellent, Miss Braintree. Now I want you to pour them into my nose.
Are you kidding?
Not at all. I want to see how many nickels my nose will hold.
Well, you're the boss. Say, you'll have to stand on your head.
All right. Yep. How's this?
Perfect.
All right. Start pouring.
Okay. I guess that does it. You can stand up now.
Okay. All right. Start counting, Miss Braintree. When the final count was in, I learned something new about myself. The number of nickels that my nose could accommodate amounted to $241.73. That 73 cents bothered me. Oh, well. That night in our drawing room, I confided in my wife, Mrs. Foster Chatsworth III.
Foster the Third, that's it.
What?
That's why you can't get close to your son, Julius. It's your nose. Remember when you used to pick him up from the cradle, you couldn't see him?
By thunder, I think you've hit it. And now that he's grown taller, whenever I try to get close to him, why, my nose knocks him down. That's why he backs away.
Pop Chatsworth the Third, there's only one thing to do.
Yes, I've got to get a nose job.
I'm heading for the last nose job.
And so I went to a first-rate nose shrinker.
There you are, Mr. Chatsworth. From now on, your nose wouldn't hold enough niggers for a local phone call.
Thank you very much, Doctor.
Julius, my son.
Who are you?
Why, I'm your dad. Foster Farthington Chatsworth.
The Third.
Right.
Dad, you got a short nose.
Yes, son. Now I can get close to you.
And I can get close to you. Oh, Dad. I've missed you so.
No. It was my fault, son. I've been short-sighted and long-nosed.
Oh, Dad.
Julius, my son.
Only a glory.
And so you have heard Rock Around My Nose, specially adapted for the Lux Audio Theater. And now here in our very own green room with me are the stars of this lovable production, Mr. Evanston, Illinois, and little Bobby Finster. It's a great honor to have you in the green room, Evanston.
Well, it's a great honor to be in the green room, C.B.
And that was a delightful performance you just gave, Bobby.
Well, I felt that, it was a challenge, C.B.
Well, you met that challenge beautifully for an 8-year-old boy.
I think we can knock off that 8-year-old boy routine any time now, you know? Look, I'm a 37-year-old midget with a wife and 3 kids in Kansas City. In that order.
Tell me, Evanston, how did it seem to be working with little Bobby Finster again?
Perfectly miserable.
Well, surely you're joking.
It wasn't exactly a picnic for me. Mr. Evanston has been, Illinois.
What do you mean, has been?
Ah, come on, you big ham.
What?
If you hadn't gotten this job tonight, they would have turned off your gas.
Why, you vicious little monster.
Take your hands off me, you old goat.
Have the boy having you along. Kick him in the teeth.
We're having a little fun here in our very own green room tonight, folks. I see our time is up. Now, next week...
Who cares about next week? How much do I get paid for next week?
Shut up, Finster, shut up.
What is for next week, T.D.?
Hey, what you doing after this show, baby?
What you doing with that cigar?
Keep away from her,
and so, friends, Locks, the only salmon-shaped bar that swims up pub, has brought you another formal interview in our very own little green room. Next week we present Love Thy Neighbor.
Mr.
C.B. Digby saying...
Take your foot out of my mouth.
Good night to you from Hollywood.
In Mr. H. Allen Smith's book, The Rebel Yell, there seems to be some dispute among Southerners as to how the actual Southern Rebel Yell went. Mr. Smith points out that there are certain schools who believe it went, hi, yip, 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 wahoo, and other people down there think that it went, tutti frutti, a wop bam booey. But I personally, having done a little research on the subject, I believe that the rebel yell went like this. Yeah! Don't let me startle you. I'm just doing a rebel yell here to kind of kick things off. You know what I mean? There's the yellow rose in Texas that I am going to see. Nobody else could miss her, not half as much as me. That's right, so when I... Excuse me. That's just a shade loud on the snare drum.
She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew.
See, now you covered up sparkle like the dew. One of the loveliest parts in the whole Texas is the only girl for me. Covered up the piccolos there. Where the Rio Grande? Where the Rio? Where? See, my feeling is that whilst I love the good snare drum, I feel that volume-wise, it's just a little bit too much what you're doing there, see? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Now, you trying to hold it down, will you? Appreciate it. Appreciate it. Where the Rio Grande? Appreciate it. With a Rio Grande and flowing, and Starry's got that better. He walks along the river, and the client, oh, that's so much better. But oh, that she remembers when the parted long ago. You know that there's just a world of difference. Mercy, she's
the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew. Her eyes are bright as diamonds, they sparkle like the dew.
See, now you're slipping back in your old habits again. Why do you do that? Why do you, Texas is the only girl for me. I love a good snare drum, you know, but I'm feeling. People, let's go back there. The snare drummer covered up the tra-la-las. Will you do it again, F.O.? Smart Ellie. Trump!
La 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 la.
See how lovely that turned out? Now, that's a darling part. Okay, banjo, go yug-dugga-dugga-dugga. That's pretty. That's pretty. Oh, now I'm going to find her, for my heart is full of woe. We'll do the things together we did so long ago. We'll play the banjo gaily. Excuse me, you ain't any kin to the snare drummer, are you?
She's the sweetest little rosebud that Texas ever knew.
Her eyes are bright as
diamonds.
Why do you do that? Why do you first stop like that? That irritates me. That irritates me, that's all. But the yellow rose of Texas. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on there, you smart aleck Yankee drummer, you. Listen, you can cover up yellow. And you can cover up rose, buddy, buddy. But don't you cover up Texas. I don't mean to say you cover up Texas.
I'll stick your head through that cotton-picking snare drum and see seed from the band, so help me Mitch Miller, I will.
And the yellow rose of Texas will be mine forever.
Come off, man, the record's over, you idiot. Stop it, I'll say. Just shoot, stop it. Stop it now. Shoot. I'm getting out of here. He ruined the ending. One of the loveliest parts in the whole piece.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, that's about it for this time around. I'll be back next week with a new throat.
Crazy.
Oh, yes, I forgot about you. Well, you've tried our show.
Yeah, man.
And you've tried other shows.
Yeah, man.
Well, what is your conclusion?
Well, your show is louder, man. It bugs me. And it's more piercing. Definitely more piercing.
Thank you. So until next week, this is Stan Freberg saying thanks for listening, God bless you, and good night.
Stan Freberg Show is produced in Hollywood by Pete Barnum and is written by Stan Freberg, Pete Barnum, Jack Roach, and Doris Butler, with original songs by Stan Freberg. Featuring the music of Billy May, Judd Conlon's Rhythm Airs, and the songs of Peggy Taylor with Doris Butler, Peter Leeds, and June Foray. Also in the cast is Hans Conried. Bud Sewell speaking.
Thank you for tuning in to the Old Time Radio Hour. Next week, I am planning to bring you two very different quiz shows, one serious and the other a zany spoof. They will wear down your defenses with the barrage of one-liners on It Pays to Be Ignorant, and you will be treated to a special guest on Information, Please. I know you'll enjoy it if you join us. Until then, I'm your host, Justine Ward, saying so long for now.